Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We are at our Friday home until football season. That is Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. Big games, big events, always better at Chickies and Pete's, the official sports bar of your Philadelphia Eagles. Now, normally we would have Elliot Shore Parks here Friday at 3.
Uh-huh.
And normally that call would be brought to you by Robin Ford, online at robinford.com. Robin Ford, where cars and trucks are sold cheap, cheap. But Elliot just doesn't take his job seriously, and he is at a quote-unquote Friday afternoon wedding.
At 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Do we believe him?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. But I don't believe that he couldn't find a way, like, stop the service. You know what I mean?
Just walk out. Act like you're going to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Anyone's going to miss you in the church?
You want to walk out anyway.
Yeah, come on. They're still going to be married whether you're in the church or not.
Right.
You are not one of the – there's really only three people that have to be in there.
Right.
The person doing the service.
And the people getting married.
That's it.
Now, I did have a vision of Elliot, like, outside at the cocktail hour. We're yelling at him. He's arguing.
Oh.
And, you know, it's causing a scene at the wedding.
Yeah, Jack and I were saying, like, we should have just, if he was doing it from the wedding, we should have just talked to him about his most infuriating takes to make him fight with us for a full 20 minutes at the wedding.
Although, you know, he would have been like whispering the entire time.
Yes, yeah.
Well,
we could have amped him up.
Well, Elliot is definitely waiting for the reception.
Oh, are you kidding? He's going to be twirling his little finger up.
Oh, YouTube can finally see what we're talking about.
Yeah.
With the stupid hand twirl he does when he's really feeling it.
When he's dancing.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Drinking one hand.
Twirling
with the other.
Like, I'm about to go in. Oh, we're so terrified.
I wish I had known about that at his wedding so I could have watched out for it.
It's all I look at.
Oh, dude.
You know that it's when
he was putting on a show at his wedding.
He was. It's like everyone has their, like, when Seltzer has too many, he starts close talking.
Yeah.
Right.
When Elliot has too many, hand motion.
He becomes young Elliot again.
It's good.
Man.
No, there's nothing wrong with it. It's just that's his thing.
Well, how thirsty is it for the Eagles guy to wear a green tux at his
right.
ceremony? Like, come on, Elliot.
It didn't look good, though.
Well, he was. He was wearing a green tux.
Yeah, he was.
Oh, and Jack doesn't want to comment on this?
No. Nope, I'm thinking if I can. No.
What, were you wearing a green tux?
No. It's all good. Okay. I was thinking about making a joke, but I'm not going to make a joke.
I'm glad. Glad you thought about it first.
I think I know what joke you were going to make, and it's actually. You showed a lot of self-control there.
Yep.
Because you don't often show that sort of self-control.
No, listen, everything, again, I largely, on this show and in life, I play checkers.
You're not a chess guy.
Yeah, like, I think Spike, like, maybe when he first started, like, maybe he thought there was some chess being played.
No.
There's nothing.
No chess.
Strictly just here, happy to be here.
Yeah, he's always, king me. That's chess.
Yeah.
So we'll get back to the Phils in a second. Just a quick note on the Eagles. Now, they're going to vote on these rule changes. Mm-hmm. You know, we had heard about the kickoff change. We had heard about the Eagles' proposal to make overtime the same in playoffs as regular season. Yeah. And we heard earlier this week from Mike Florio that he didn't think there was enough support against the tush push to get it banned. However, Diana Russini has heard differently.
I'm hearing that the tush push is building some momentum. I know we've talked about it here on the show where I said I didn't think that this would probably be the year where I could see change. I feel like it's getting more momentum in terms of those opposed to it than I've ever heard before. Usually it's like everyone's like, nah. There's like those one or two people that sit on it that are against it. But it's catching fire.
But there was only one team that brought it up. It was the Packers. Now all of a sudden everyone wants to ban it because they can't stop it.
The one to scream it doesn't mean it, you don't, you know, there's some that are probably are sitting there like, I don't want to be the one to raise my hands.
You know what? I blame the NFL for this. Mm-hmm. If the entire reason that they're saying it could be banned is because of injury, and the NFL says there were no injuries, there shouldn't even be a vote on the rule. Mm-hmm. There shouldn't even be a vote on the rule. Whoever is in charge of that, I guess Troy Vincent and Goodell to an extent, whoever is in charge of it, it shouldn't be up for vote. You shouldn't just be able to vote for something that you don't like because you can't stop it. Now, if they want to come up with some reason why this isn't football and, you know, and change rules overall for it. But the idea that it is an injury risk, but they have no evidence that it is an injury risk, you shouldn't just allow teams to vote out a play they can't stop, which is what would be happening here, I think.
Yeah, listen, I agree with you on that.
Like on principle.
But the injury thing is really just a disguise for those who are opposed to it, I believe, just feel it's unfair or it's a disadvantage to the defense. And they can't figure out a way to stop it. Doesn't
right.
make it right, but I'm saying that's what I believe their motive is behind it. Let me ask you this. You know, the whole fair and balanced competitive edge thing, that's pretty much what Buffalo whined and used to get the rule changed in overtime so that everybody could get the ball the same.
Sure.
I mean,
right.
that wasn't anything about injury. That was more or less,
yep.
We lost the game and we didn't get a chance to get the ball. So we shall vote to change this rule.
For sure.
Like something
yes.
that had been in place
well,
that didn't
what...
get changed until one team felt like, oh, we lost this game that we could have won if we had got the ball back.
Now,
and they changed the rule.
I agree there, but then the pretense for changing the rule should be it's not fair. Not, well, do you see what I'm saying?
I agree with you. But to
you know
me,
I mean?
When they changed that rule, they made it okay to say when something's not fair, we can change it to make it fair.
Right. Like, to me, them trying to ban the tush push is like saying you shouldn't have a guy who could run faster than a 4.3.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like we can't cover him. He's too fast. Or a kicker who can kick a field goal 70 yards.
You know
it's like you shouldn't be able to kick a 70-yard field goal.
You know what they want, Spike? And you know this has been going on for the last few years, and it's been more prominent with us and with our team because we seem like the ones who have taken advantage of this change of rule. But do you guys realize this was actually a rule that you weren't allowed to push players?
Right.
I always
they
go back.
It
so
like
they
10
changed
years ago,
the
right.
rule
right.
to you allow you to do this. So at some point, this actually was illegal.
Yes. And
it was illegal at some point.
The Leinart game in Notre Dame
yep.
where they pushed him
Reggie
through.
Reggie Bush pushed him in.
Yeah. That's when the first outrage happened.
Yeah.
And I have no idea when they even changed it back.
Well, you're not allowed to pull a guy, right? That's still a rule. I don't think you're allowed to pull somebody.
No, you can't pull somebody.
But then I guess my thing would be, is the defense allowed to use two guys to push you backwards?
See, here's why the defense can't do that. Because what if you don't actually push? So, in other words, the defense doesn't know the play. If they stack all their guys up inside
sure.
there,
yep.
you could actually throw the ball. So, if the league, here's the thing I believe these teams want the league to do. It's ban the ability to push guys. Because here's what happens from a defensive standpoint. We initially stop you. The refs don't blow the whistle.
Correct.
Which allows guys, two or three guys from behind you, to continue to push the pal to where eventually forward progress gives you either a touchdown or a first down.
Well, let me – couldn't they just change it by saying that when you're forward – like having the refs blow forward progress stopping early.
Early,
right? Like
be quicker with it.
Be quicker with it.
That's like, a way. That is a way to do it.
You know, because I always
say a quarterback sneak.
Yeah, I was gonna say, but how do you determine when forward progress should be stopped?
Right. Well, they determine it sometimes, right? Like sometimes they blow a play dead when the player is still on their feet.
Mm-hmm.
Not just quarterbacks, you know, running backs and wide receivers. Sometimes they'll blow a play dead when there's two defenders there and the guy won't go down. They'll blow that play dead and the guy never gets tackled. So I guess my thing would be...
I just think in a scrum is harder.
It's harder. For sure. For sure. Right. Yeah.
Well, so I don't want the rule banned, but I understand where that side is coming from. I don't think it's going to get banned. But I think what they really want is they don't want you to be able to push guys.
Right. And I think last year specifically, the Eagles leaned on it. Like they were
than they had in the past.
Right. They were doing it
on a first down in the red zone.
Well, they were almost saying we're going to treat this as if we have two chances to do it. So on a third and one, we're going to do it, and then we're going to do it again. You know, maybe the Eagles are a little bit guilty of overusing the play and just sort of like
which was well within their right.
It's not an illegal play.
Yes, absolutely. It's not an illegal play.
Absolutely.
I don't think they're going to get the votes for it. But it'll be interesting to see how many votes they do get compared to what they've gotten in the past.
And then see if it comes up again next year.
Yep.
215-592-9494. It is an overreaction Friday on the WIP afternoon show. Phillies win 7-3. Do you feel better or worse? I feel better because those strikeouts felt like good strikeouts to me. I saw a different approach at the plate. I saw a team willing to take pitches. I saw a team that wasn't chasing nearly as much. The taking all those pitches got the starter out of the game in the sixth inning. A productive 19 strikeouts.
That's the key.
215-592-9494. Colin in Limerick, you're on WIP.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you this fine day?
Hey, Colin.
What's up, Colin?
Hello. After I got off the phone yesterday, I need to apologize to you guys.
You were out of control.
I know, and I usually am. And I forget that you guys have earmuff headphones on. It is extremely
loud.
Inconsiderate of me to be ranting and raving while you guys had headphones on. And
nah,
I want
the passion's there though, Colin.
I apologize.
Yeah, no, but we like the passion.
I like the passion. You just don't need the volume. You know, I got tinnitus in the left ear.
Go,
I don't need this guy
to
blast them.
Pour one out.
Forget about it. Let's
there it is.
Go, baby. There you go. You want to complain? Well, guess what? I'm back.
Oh, yo, God. You're back already?
19 strikeouts.
Yes.
Not like.
But they were a good 19
okay,
strikeouts.
Out, but they won.
Yeah.
And we're on pace for 162-0.
Yes,
record.
Sir.
The
yes.
Big back, they hit their home runs. When they should have. Schwarber and Harper, they're the big bats. They hit home runs, right?
Yep.
Right?
Yes. Yes.
Then they should have. And we also had some small ball going later. Real Muto with the, what, he have a triple? And Alec Boehm with a double?
But big hit,
I don't
mate.
Really, but I really don't see, I mean, yes, 19 strikeouts. I get it. We don't want them to be striking out 19 gosh darn times. But it's game one.
As long as they're good strikeouts.
Yeah.
Yeah, like we talked about yesterday, they have to improve. There has to be improvement. We can't be I used to hate it when Jason Worth would be swinging at this absolute junk in the dirt.
Wait a minute. Well, Jason Worth had a great eye.
Yeah, Jason Worth had one of the best eyes in the last 25 years.
I used to watch him all the time swing at junk. Now he would make contact. And it would be somehow he would get on base, but it used to be so frustrating.
Come on, Colin.
Yesterday we saw improvement with their pitching choice. What they were going to swing at, what they weren't going to swing at.
Yes,
Trey even Turner, Castellanos.
Yeah. We'll see how long that lasts.
It won't.
Colin, next.
What he needs to do is he needs to pull his kid from school. And his kid needs to be at every single game because he is a completely different player in the middle of the summer when his boy is there than any other time. I've watched it the past three seasons.
Well, Liam was there yesterday. That's why he saw a patient approach.
Yeah, yeah. By the way, is that why Schwarber gets good when June happens? Because Liam is there?
No, I don't know. That's just the weather warming up.
Yeah. Colin, for next question today, give us your go-to pop star.
All right. I had a few questions about how we're going to
what the criteria is.
But I know. Hold on.
All right.
Relax.
All right.
I'm going to say Madonna. Does Madonna count?
Yes. Oh, that's a big answer.
Oh, yes. It's an all-time pop star. She was always a pop star.
She's still a pop star.
Yes.
70.
Yes. Now, I just want to have a little talk with everybody about small ball.
Okay.
We're obsessed with it.
Well, there seems to be a misunderstanding about what small ball is. So Colin just said they played a little bit of small ball. JT had a triple, and then Bohm had a double.
Yeah, that's not small.
That is not small ball.
Yeah.
Small ball is not just not hitting a home run. Small ball is bunning guys over, mm-hmm. you know, hitting the ball on the ground the other way to move a guy across.
Oh, good.
Sack flies.
Baseball was meant to be played.
Yeah, sack flies. And they do need to do that a little bit.
It needs to be in the playbook.
Yes, yes.
I know we don't do playbooks, Ike, but it needs to be in the playbook.
I was going to say, I hadn't heard playbook with baseball.
It's just so funny because obviously your guys' peak, I would say, was in the 90s.
Yeah.
No, my peak is now.
No, I know.
I was terrible in the 90s.
No, but like the 90s, baseball-wise, it was the whole saying was chicks take the long ball.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it was like home runs, home runs, home runs. And now at the Phillies, you know what we need more of?
Small ball.
Little bunts.
Yep.
Nobody really wants that.
The whole Phillies offense was bunting. Well, I don't think people would be thrilled.
Well, and it's not like 93 Phillies, which everybody loves. That was not a bunting team.
We've never had that team.
No.
When they went 08, that 06 through 2011. No, that's not what they were.
Really about just playing complimentary baseball.
Yeah.
Like, get the guy in from third base. If you have two strikes and there's a runner on second base, like before two strikes and you want to try to hit a double, hit a double. Mm-hmm. Two strikes, put the ball in play to the right side. But like, I don't know. The small ball thing is.
See, I'm convinced that this isn't an approach you sort of try to implement unless you have players that already approach baseball that way.
Sure. Yes.
Trying to turn guys who swing for the fence into contact hitters and station-to-station baseball players is never going
to
work.
I agree. To me, it's about the players who are capable of it doing it.
Yep.
And I think the Phillies have players who are capable of it and have sort of lost that.
Like, mm-hmm. Rojas should be able to do it.
Rojas should be able to do it.
Marsh should be able to do it.
Trey should be able to do it. Stott should be able to do it.
Yes.
I'm not counting on Casty to. And by the way, Bryce does it.
Usually.
He has the ability to do it.
He has the ability to do it. He has the bat control. He has the eye to do it.
Yep.
I think Schwarber can do it.
He's
last year he did. I thought he was a.
No, he'd pull the ball on the right side when need be. He tried to steal a bag yesterday. Everyone liked that.
Yeah. He was pretty close.
He should have. Yeah, he could have got there.
He was pretty close.
By the way, because I can't get over this, Jason Worth in his 4 years here.
Yeah.
404 OBP, 363, 373, 388.
Yeah, he is a bad example of a guy chasing out of the zone. Jason Worth probably had the best eye of any Philly I've seen in the last. Like, since 2000. I can't think of another guy who was like him.
Yeah, Schwarber. But Bryce always talks about how he liked hitting behind Worth. He saw a million pitches.
Yeah. Worth was great.
Yeah.
Wait, the one other thing you said there. Small ball? No. Oh, bunting. I wonder, Jack, wonder if you feel this way. I wonder if the ghost runner thing is going to. Because the reason that players are so bad at bunting is because it wasn't part of the game for so long, mm-hmm. and so they never practiced it anymore. And they got to the major leagues, they couldn't do it. With the ghost runner thing happening during the regular season, I believe being able to bunt a guy over becomes a huge advantage. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if they're going to start like coaching guys to do this again in high school, in college, in the minors, so when they get here, they can do that. Because if you can get that guy on third, you are just – the number of times last year I felt like I watched a baseball game and they just couldn't get the guy to third was crazy.
Well, the strategy would have to change because the strategy right now in extras is just score as many runs as you can, at least at the top of the inning.
Because the other team's going to have a chance.
So if you only get one, it's pretty easy for the – So they're the philosophy in extras.
You don't want to give away an out. by like, one team.
Exactly. Like,
move the runner over and then sacrifice
only going
him coming
up,
in.
Only going up by one and giving up an out doesn't do a whole lot.
Yeah.
Because
I don't like that.
I'm just telling you that that's what would have to change. For now, if you're at the bottom of the inning and they don't score, yeah, that's when the bunting, I think, becomes imperative because then you just get him over and get him out.
I just think major league players, hitters, should be able to lay down a bunt.
And I think, listen, and I agree with you. And here's the other thing about the strategy part of it that should come into play instead of already predetermining what you're going to do. Who's your closer coming up? What part of the order does the other team have coming
up?
Yep. And if all you need is one run because you feel like your closer has the pitching advantage.
Yeah, if you've kept, guys, if you still have your a great reliever
right.
at that point.
Yes. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yep.
Yeah.
Especially a guy who's maybe a strikeout pitcher as well. Okay. Coming up next, look, it's been weeks since football season. Tornado Shapiro still pops up at 3:30 every Friday. He was on last week when I wasn't here.
Oh, yeah. Oh, great, great tornado last week.
Yeah, had a hard time controlling it.
So, well, he kept bringing up his name. His big reference last week, Spike, you'd love this, I'm sure, was the 1985 Nova AD. And I was like, who?
Well, no, Tornado is an older guy.
He's an older guy. Yeah. He's talking to a younger guy.
Yes. And oh, right, with you at the helm here.
Yes. Yeah, I was like, maybe if Spike was here, he'd know who, like, Jake Irvin.
We didn't know if he was a coach or
he used him
director.
Three times. Yeah. And at the end, I was like, Ike, who the hell was that?
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know.
It's almost like Tornado had spent years doing shows with Angelo.
I would say so.
I never heard him on Angelo. But so we will have the opening day forecast, the home opener forecast with Tornado Shapiro next. Your calls as well on an Overreaction Friday. Do you feel better, worse, or the same? The same is only for cowards. After the Phillies win yesterday, and next question today is Lady Gaga's birthday, so give us your go-to pop star. We're at Chickie's in South Philly. The tournament is back, college basketball tournament. You can watch all the action at Chickie's and Pete's. Find a location near you at chickiesandpetes.com. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie. But since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We are at Chickie's in South Philly. Big games, big events, always better at Chickie's and Pete's, the official sports bar of your world champion Philadelphia Eagles. By the way, the show streaming live on YouTube now and every day, today and every day.
People forgot right there.
Uh-oh, were you picking your nose again?
No, I was getting my boogie on right there.
Oh, that's okay. That's the advantage of YouTube is people get to see the interactions.
Yeah. Until they start clipping them.
Oh, they'll clip them.
Putting them together as montages.
They will put them together as montages. Yeah. Joining us, as he always does, Friday at 3:30, the one, the only, the least dependable meteorologist in America, Tornado Shapiro, is back. What's up, Tornado?
The Phillies are undefeated. That's 1-0, friend. Only 161 more to go. I've got the fever. Do you? How about a little music, my friend?
It's the game day forecast from the world's most accurate and famous meteorologist, Tornado Shapiro.
In the country the last 47 years, we might be in trouble for the home opener on Monday. Rain is in the forecast.
There it is. Finally, not a 50-50. 100% chance of rain on Monday, right?
Hold on. Hold on, Spike. I'm not giving it up that easy. Who do you think I am? Easy Emily of WEEZ in Tuscaloosa? You're premature again. You popped your blue chew too early, son.
There it is. Yeah, of course. The famous Easy Emily. All right, let's go.
I am looking forward to Monday, or Tuesday. I'm sorry. Nothing like the home opener. It's baseball, Ray. It's as American as apple pie, and who doesn't love a nice piece of pie? Come on.
Okay.
Yes, hot dogs and the halter tops, the crack of the bat, the pop of the mitt, and the smell of grass on the infield.
I don't like those when you do that, actually.
Tomorrow it's going to be hot. You heard it here first. High of 80 degrees. Nothing like the advent of spring. Sun's out, guns out. And for the ladies, they start peeling off the layers. That's it, girls. Let the world see your personality. Come on.
Okay.
Yeah, I like the Phillies rotating leadoff hitters. You know, I started that system back in the mid-90s.
There it is.
On odd days, I'd lead off with Barbie Bazookas from WBOOM. I called her the Big Storm. Sweet-looking gal. She was all 6'5", 240, broad shoulders.
She a linebacker?
She had cleaned up for the station softball team, but I'd lead her off for my personal roster. The girl could flat rake. She'd barrel you up good, son. Choke up on the bat if needed. Fluff that resin bag. Trust me, you want to see her launch angle. Hello. She'll find the gap.
Really go for the cheap ones today, huh?
Follow her up the next day with a spinner. Cheryl Cheeks of WASS, The Feast, Milwaukee. You rotate them two up at the top of the order. Keep everybody guessing. Had another table setter. Her name was Tina the Trim from WWW. Ouch! The Cherry Hot Hits Tucson. Then I'd roll out the heavy hitters. We had a weather girl by the name of Jenny Jetstream over at WWRBI. Then there was Touch 'Em All Terry. She didn't miss a one. Followed by Rotund Ruth. Tina turned two. Then Susie the Splendid Splinter. Splinter? Just met her. Come on,
okay.
There it is.
There it is.
I remember one home opener. It was me, Ike, Adam Eaton, Ed Rendell, and Larry Kane.
Wow.
We walked out right behind the McSweeney dancers from McDade Boulevard. The first pitch was dropped from a helicopter way up in the sky. Ike thought he had it. He's calling for the ball. I got it. One of the McSweeney girls' hair caught fire, distracted Ike. Adam Eaton reaches over. He got lost in Ed Rendell's back hair. And he ended up... Ike ended up with the wrong ball.
Oh, no!
Larry Kane left with one of the McSweeney dancers. Adam and Ike are still in touch today.
Wow. Did not know they had a relationship.
By the way, that portal over in Love Park, they're moving it indoors now. I apologize. I might have been responsible for that a little bit. I was out there last week with a former Channel 57 weather gal from Tinicum, Flashing Fanny, over at WOW. We were doing our own version of the Tush Push, front of the portal. Next thing you know, they were selling tickets to see me and my Fanny every Wednesday at lunchtime at a beer hall in Poland.
I've had enough. How about a forecast for Monday, for opening day?
Monday, here comes the rain for the home opener. This one's getting rained out. My friend, you heard it here first. Push that opening day back to Tuesday, 3 p.m.
Yes.
I'll give it at least a 50-50 shot of that. If not, they'll play on Monday. You got it. You heard it right here. It's either Monday or Tuesday.
Tuesday's
sunny and cooler, high of 60. I predict they're going to play this game one day next week. You heard it here, guaranteed. How about you muster up a little music for once?
No, you can't guarantee a 50-50 shot. That's not how guarantees work. Unbelievable.
Man, that was a lot.
A lot of cheap ones in there. A lot of cheap. Barbie Bazooka from W Boom. Really?
Yeah.
Barbie Bazooka. Cheryl Cheeks.
Yeah.
Okay.
Come on.
The Twitter question is brought to you by Marks Jewelers. Marks is looking for artisans who are detail-oriented and have a passion for making people's dreams come true. Apply online at marks-jewelers.com. What do you feel more after yesterday's Phillies game? Better or worse, or are you a coward and you voted the same? 66.8% are cowards. They vote the same. 24.5% say better. They know they were 19 good strikeouts. And 8.7% say worse. 215-592-9494. We will get to the High Hopes Jackie Baseball Report after we talk to Bruce. Bruce, you're on WIP. Bruce. What's up, Bruce?
Friday.
What up, Bruce?
I'm rolling down to Shenandoah Valley, heading to Georgia this weekend. So,
oh, nice.
You know, but I had a chance to catch the game yesterday. You know, I'm kind of like in that squishy middle. That game was basically, and I'm gonna use a fancy word, a microcosm of last season. I mean, you had a blown pitch, you had a blown save, you had outstanding pitching, you had home runs, and then you had massive strikeouts. It was a nice little bow all in one.
That was a big word out of you, Bruce. I didn't see that one coming.
Microcosm?
Microcosm. Yeah,
well, I think that's how a lot of people felt yesterday, is that nothing has really changed.
We're all cowards.
Well, but I keep saying the thing about
the productive strikeouts,
and I understand how it sounds, but I do think the approach looked different to me.
Yeah, there are better strikeouts.
Striking out 19 times is not great, of course. You want to put the ball in play. But they did not look like they were chasing the same way. They did see more pitches than they would have seen even more pitches if the guy would throw a friggin' ball. He was around the zone the entire time. He was good. The shadows are a real thing, even if they're not everything. And I thought I saw a different approach out of the Phillies yesterday. The only thing I worry about is they have this different approach. They strike out 19 times. I hope they don't see this different approach as we can't do that anymore.
Well, it's good that they won.
Yes.
It makes it easier.
Yes.
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
It's good that they won. By the way, speaking of Seymour, given the amount of cheap jokes that
Seymour Sally out of WTI.
Seymour Butts.
L. Yeah.
Seymour pitches, Seymour butts. That felt like a tornado
that
layup.
That was a nice one, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on. Come on, NATO.
Yeah. Come on.
NATO.
But the thing, here's the thing. You know, like I said, I'm a bit cautiously optimistic. But the thing that I did, like, it was good to see Schwarbaum and Harper get those home runs. And JT come in. And so he's been on my hit list for the longest. I mean, had a key hit. And I'm just trying to remain positive. I think that hopefully Romero gets this stuff together. One thing about he
JC?
Gets this stuff together, we're going to have a dangerous pitching lineup. And I think we're going to see a different team this year. We just have to wait and see and, you know, stay out of the shadows.
Well, yeah, I'll say this, by the way.
It took me a second.
Yeah, good joke there.
Yeah. Yeah.
You like that joke,
he does. Bruce. Look at how good he feels about it.
Wow. Bruce is self-fired.
I had to flip. That was a Freudian slip.
No, it was good. It was good. You nailed it, buddy.
hey, Bruce, for next question today, give us your go-to pop star all time.
Yeah, somebody already took Madonna, so I'm like, oh, man. So my fallback is Pink. I'll roll with Pink.
Somebody Doyle's already
said Pink. Yeah, somebody said Pink.
Oh, my God. Jesus.
Come on, Bruce.
Come on, Bruce. Lock in.
I'm slipping on my pimping, man.
We should get Bruce in the road more often.
Yeah.
Dynamite call.
Cracking himself up. All right, Bruce. Yep, thank you for the call, man. Bruce. Well, we are in baseball season, which means an even more meaningful version of this segment that everybody loves. This segment that everybody
it's time
loves.
For the High Hopes Jackie Baseball Report.
Oh, my ass.
Jackie Baseball.
It didn't freeze.
It didn't freeze, Buzz. Would you stop? Yeah, I'm sure. So there was a couple things I liked yesterday about the team's mentality. I want to know if you guys noticed this. One, There was no water dumping after the win by the cute little daycare.
The daycare is finally over.
We didn't see Stott sneaking up, Marsh sneaking up.
Right.
They just treated it like a win. Just a business trip.
Yep.
So I don't know if we really have the answer to this. What's your gut feeling on this? Was this a player thing, meaning that they've sort of decided –
grew out of it a little bit.
Or did they tell them to knock it off?
I think it was a player thing.
Okay.
I think it was, we don't need to do that anymore.
Okay.
Well, you're not going to play the Bryce sound on this, are you?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Well, because Bryce said something about
it. He did.
Too.
Yeah, he did. So I thought this answer, I thought this answer was really, really interesting. And I thought that Bryce yesterday, it was only one game, I get it. But you know how we talked about he needs to take the bull by the horns here.
Yes.
I think we're starting to see more of that from him.
Be that sort of more vocal
like
leader.
He's always been a lead by example guy.
Yeah.
But as we've talked about, like his legacy is the one on the line here. And no, if they don't win the World Series in the next 5 years, no one's going to say Wheeler didn't get the job done. Everyone knows how great Wheeler's been in the postseason. You know, Bryce is the one, no matter what his postseason stats are, if he doesn't get the job done, it's going to be like, man, he didn't have that cherry on top to what was a great year.
Yeah.
And it felt like at least through one game yesterday, he is taking on, I'll be the bad guy.
Well, he said it in when we talked
to him.
Yeah, when we talked to him and he talked about chasing. Mm-hmm. And he's like, we got to get better there. We can't do this. But he's not talking about himself.
Exactly.
And the quote last week, you weren't here, but he talked about how they got out-coached, outplayed in the Diamondbacks and Mets series.
Yep.
I thought that was notable as well.
I do think, now he might not be the flip the table over loud guy, but what he says matters.
Oh, yeah.
And even if he is saying it in a calm way after a game, then I think that resonates. People in the clubhouse know what he says. He has to be that guy, at least to an extent.
Well, and it creates a pretty good, I think, clubhouse dynamic from the standpoint of Schwarber's the guy who tells everyone, you're great. We know you're great. You know you're great. Just go play. It's a long season. Don't overreact. Mm-hmm. And then Bryce can be more the bad cop and saying, like, we got to knock that stuff off. So it creates I think Bryce just – it looks like he's again taking the bull by the horns. And this quote pregame, talking about the daycare, I like one specific thing he said in it. Here's Bryce before the game yesterday.
Yeah, young guys. First of all, they're not the daycare anymore. Obviously, they're on this team, man. It's gonna be a lot of fun for them to go in and enjoy it this year. I want them to just have fun. At this moment in their career, they have a lot of guys in here that have played baseball for a long time and been in the game for a long time. So I want them to put all the pressure on us and just go out and play their game. Just have fun, enjoy the moment, because this might be the last time they're able to do that. Because if they do go to a different team or they're with us or anything else like that, they're going to be the guy one day. And so I want them to kind of just enjoy that moment of just playing ball and having a good time and enjoying it as much as they can. So I think our young guys are going to have a great year. I think they're going to have a really good mentality this year to go in and just play their game and have fun and enjoy it. I mean, I think they're going to lead the way for us a little bit.
And there's a lot to react to in that. But the one thing he said about put the pressure on us, meaning I think Schwarber, Turner,
the veterans,
JT, Castellanos, because that's, I think, where the bone gets off or goes wrong is when he thinks, I got to do it myself. And I just felt like that was a maybe he's telling Stott, Marsh, and Bohm, put it on us. Like, don't – just go play your game. I like that.
Yeah, I mean, I like it as well. And it's clear that there was a message sort of delivered, whether it was directly delivered to Alec Bohm or it's been done indirectly through interviews, whether it's with veteran players, whether it's with Rob Thompson, whether it's with Dave Dombrowski. Growing up, handling adversity – handling tough times, controlling your emotions, as opposed to letting them spiral out of control. Enough is enough with that. Enough is enough with that. And, when you're in a pro atmosphere, we're all pros. We understand you may be a little younger than some of the older vets, but understand it isn't our job for us to come down to your level and let your energy pull us down. It's up to you and your job to mature and be up here where the veterans are. You don't see anybody else on the team emotionally having outbursts the way Alec Bohm has at times when he's frustrated. And I think that wore on guys, and it made them frustrated. And Alec Bohm, your intentions may be well, but understand your teammates are impacted by that in a negative way, and it needed to be subsided. And I hope Bohm understands that And we'll see when he does go through one of those moments where he's not hitting the ball well, or he makes it out in a big spot. How does he react to that?
Yeah.
I mean, Thompson, and he sort of implied that a lot when he was talking about he looks like he's grown up. He looks like he's mature. Like, a lot of that stuff is sort of indirect messaging to Alec.
And he's 28.
Yeah, you're not even 24. Yeah, it's not 23 or 24. Right. You're 28. You're a grown man.
Well, and that's the other thing about him on the daycare thing. Like, he must feel like he's in the middle a little bit.
He does.
You know what I mean? Because he's not one of the young guys, but he's also not an established star. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have a big contract like Bryce or JT or Castellano. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and like, look, he is who he is, but he can certainly control his, like, what it looks like.
Yeah.
It's hard to control how you feel, but he can certainly do a better job of controlling what it looks like to everyone else.
Listen, I'll put it in football terms. If a wide receiver, you know, is throwing a fit like that, that is negative.
Sure.
Right? And I'm picking out receivers because receivers are standout players, right?
Do we need a Philly to come on the air and say that they had their problems and then they can address
We don't need to do that. But whether it was a receiver or it was a running back, like, when something is not going well for you during the game, or remember how Wentz used to look frustrated coming to the sideline, sometimes you're wearing your emotions on your sleeve.
Yeah.
Like, you can't be that way as a player. Now, football's a little bit different. But, dude, when you're the only one that reacts that way, it stands out even more.
Yeah, it sucks the life out of the team.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just feels like they're a little bit more serious this year. The post-game water dumping not happening, that quote. Even it may be a minor thing, but Stubbs isn't here. I mean, they kept Marshawn up here because and they sent down
the chief
vibes officer.
Yeah.
So, but I also thought that Bryce, in the leadership thing, I liked also this quote he said about Alec Bohm after the game.
Bohm's name was mentioned in trade rumors a lot in the offseason. How good did it feel to see him come through in that moment?
Yeah, I mean, obviously they were real. You know, he had a possibility of going somewhere else. And a lot of guys in here, man, including myself, we love that kid over there. He plays the game and plays it hard and understand what it takes, man. And he just needs to not put pressure on himself too much and just have fun, enjoy what he does. And what a big at bat for him to come through right there.
First of all, Bryce acknowledging the trade rumors were real.
Yeah.
When the org said that it wasn't true.
I know. Right.
Yeah.
Thompson was like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. We love Bohm, you know? Well, I mean, that again.
At least the players know that it was real.
Yes.
Well, forget about what they tell us.
Well, I think him saying it publicly is calculated.
Yep.
Like, when I say that Bryce is calculated in what he says, I don't mean that as a negative.
Mm-hmm.
He knows what he's saying when he's saying it.
Mm-hmm.
He is a smart guy and he is calculated. So him acknowledging it publicly is meaningful. It's that we all knew it was true. Everybody knew it was true, but him acknowledging it publicly, I think, is meaningful as well. And I thought it was all of this stuff from Bryce feels different to me.
And it's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because he's listen, it's one thing to, this fan base already loves Bryce Harper. You've already won us over. Right? Like that, I don't see how that's going to change. But what you're remembered as overall does matter. And I'm glad it seemingly matters enough to him that he realizes that he has to get out of his comfort zone a little bit and take the bull by the horns. Because you're right. This thing is about his legacy.
Yeah.
However it turns out, it's going to ultimately be about Bryce Harper's legacy here. And I like the fact that you can see the maturity in him where he's gone from being that type of leader to being a leader who is at the forefront. And if it means he needs to make some people a little uncomfortable, I'm glad he's okay with that.
Yeah. By the way, it's what I always wanted Embiid to realize.
Right.
Now, he's not going to – Bryce is what, 32?
32.
Yep. Embiid is probably not going to get that chance at that age to sort of turn and realize that.
Isn't it wild that Embiid's a year younger than Bryce?
Than Bryce, yes.
Yeah.
Because he feels 10 years younger than Bryce. Part of it is how long we've known about Bryce, right? It was 14 years, 15 years. But it's what I always wanted Embiid to realize is all these other guys, Ben, as big a deal as Ben was, Ben Simmons will become a footnote in all of this.
It ain't matter, yeah.
All of this is a footnote. This is his era.
Yep.
And I just wanted him to wake up one day and go, all this screwing around, all this goofy stuff, all this not showing up for practice.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not going to hurt anybody but him. You know what I mean? Like, he will be remembered for the one that is the failure, not anybody else, even if those things are true. It's what I always wanted him to realize. And I'm glad that even if it's not natural for Bryce, because that's one of the things that we all said when he isn't a vocal leader. It's like, well, that's not who he is. He leads by example. Mm-hmm. Well, also, just like we can say, Alec Boehm, you can change how you act. Mm-hmm. Bryce can change how he acts, too. He can't do a complete 180.
Well, Jalen grew up last year with the leadership stuff.
He certainly changed some of it.
I mean, 2023, it felt like he wasn't happy.
Yep.
Yeah. Wasn't want to be around teammates. I thought last year he did a much better job.
Much better job of it last year. No doubt about it. And I'll tell you what, wait till you see him this year. Now that he has that monkey off his back.
Maybe he's smiling and joking around.
I'm just saying,
the confidence.
Yes, the confidence level there will be there for him that he can let that out.
Yep. Yeah. Anything else? Or is that it?
I thought Marsh,
got 2 minutes if you want.
All right, well, if there's one negative yesterday, I thought Marsh looked about the same like against lefties. There was
He is who he is.
But you got to give him a few.
I know. With an overreaction Thursday, to Friday.
Overreaction Friday.
I know, but the game was on Thursday. Yeah. Whatever. It was that was a negative. And looking at the bullpen, I'm more okay with Romano. I feel fine when they can use those four, like Kirkering, Romano, Strom, Alvarado.
Especially if it's that Alvarado.
It's when one of those guys are down, and then you're relying on the Jose Ruiz's, the Tanner Banks. I'm a Cesar Hernandez guy. I'm sure you guys are fired up about him.
Yeah, real fired up.
They got him on waivers. But when it's out, like they feel, at least right now, and this season, maybe someone pops. Like, the deadline, I think, is going to be when they get another bullpen piece.
Yeah, they're a guy away.
Yeah.
They're a guy away. Yeah. Especially because I'm out on Romano.
Did we have a shortstop named Cesar Hernandez?
He's second baseman.
Second baseman?
Yeah.
We did, right?
Hmm? Same guy.
I knew I wasn't crazy. Yeah. Hey, it was not the same guy.
No. Same guy.
The name sound familiar to me. I'm like, hold on.
Carlos Hernandez. My bad.
Yeah.
Is the pitcher. Cesar Hernandez, the shortstop.
Oh, so you were wrong.
Yeah, I was wrong. Dump that, Buzz.
Dump it.
I'm too, it can't be Jackie Baseball.
Don't dump it, Buzz.
Cutting it.
Yeah,
exactly.
There you go.
Shut up, Buzz.
All right. Well, we have an important guest next because we are fully in capture the flag mode.
Yes.
I have turned to capture the flag.
Yes.
The lottery is the most important moment in Philadelphia 76ers history on May 12th.
Last night. 36-7 last night.
He was legit last night.
Yeah. He's... Three-point shot's pretty ugly, but...
No, he's not. He can't shoot yet.
Well, it's not a natural. It's not a natural shot.
Yeah. I'm used to, our delegation.
Yes.
Being shooters.
Yeah. Yes, yeah.
Like, he shot the first one. Yeah. I was like, oh, that's not usually how it goes.
Kawhi couldn't shoot in college.
Right.
So Kevin O'Connor, the Kevin O'Connor of the Kevin O'Connor Show on Yahoo, will join us next to go deep. We've all heard the name, Cooper Flagg. But we will find out more about the player. Who can we compare him to, Cooper Flagg, and what KOC thinks of the future of the Sixers? We're at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Well, I got to also remind everybody that great forecast that Tornado Shapiro gave us for Monday's game, which he said could possibly be Tuesday's game.
Yes.
That 50-50 forecast.
Yes.
If you want to hear more of that, you can hear him with our great friend Joe Conklin and the City Rhythm Orchestra and Philly Sports put to music at the Keswick Theater, Eastern Road in Glenside, next Saturday, April 5th. Tickets are still available. Go to joeconklin.com.
There you go. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.